And this hour, Rosemary Ellen Guiley joins us. What's so fascinating about Rosemary? She investigates ghosts. She interprets dreams. She does it all. So a little bit later on, you'll get your chance to talk with her as well. Lots to talk with her about, and she knows a lot about Frank's Box. Rosemary Ellen Guiley next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, her website, visionaryliving.com, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She brought us Frank's Box, and Rosemary Ellen Guiley now brings us more stories. Rosemary, how are you?
Hi, George. Well, I'm on the paranormal road. It seems to be the story of my life these days. I'm in Monterey, Mexico.
You and the old Charles Kuralt. We have to do a series with you, huh? On the road with Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Well, in fact, I am doing a series now for the brand new Paranormal Television Network called On the Paranormal Road.
You've got to be kidding. How would I know that?
You're
good for you. Good for you. So what's that going to consist of?
Well, I'm going to be featuring places that I go on my travels and the things that I encounter, investigations at strange places, research that I do, interviews with interesting people. The Paranormal Television Network is brand new. It's web-based. It's founded by Laura Kimberly, John Zaffis, a very good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Laura's a good friend of mine, and Mark Tetlow. And it's the coming thing. It's starting out on the internet. I'm very excited about it because this is a chance to showcase a lot of things about real research into the paranormal.
Absolutely. And so many things are being computer-driven these days, Rosemary, aren't they?
They certainly are. More and more people are turning to their computers for entertainment, for news, for information, research. And so this is a great way to reach an audience. There are so many fascinating things to talk about and visual, you know, a lot of visual things as well as audio. And I'm on the road a good chunk of the time now. I crisscross the country and I do investigations. I get invited to do investigations with a lot of groups. And there's always something interesting going on that I think illuminates our understanding of ourselves related to the cosmic whole, to other dimensions, to our understanding of, you know, in a spiritual aspect, our life journey.
Absolutely. I just had Bill Murphy on and Frank Sumption, and we were talking about Frank's Box. And, of course, they're talking about an event that they're picking up on August 15th, which is Saturday. But they don't know what year, Rosemary. It could be tomorrow. It could be next year. It could be 10 years from now. They don't know the year yet. But apparently it has to do with something on the eastern coast of the United States from the ocean. To me, it sounds like a tsunami, probably created by either a volcano or an asteroid or something like that. Are you picking up any of this stuff, too?
I haven't yet, but the focus of my work really has never involved predictions over these devices, and some people do get a lot of predictions. You know, George Meek got predictions over the Spiracom when he was working with Bill O'Neill, and some of those predictions turned out to be true. They involved political events around the world, and they held up. So we can't dismiss them out of hand, but I think that they need to be evaluated very carefully because timing is often off, circumstances are often off, and sometimes people look at them in hindsight and kind of fit the event to the prediction. My feeling is that we can't get hung up on doomsday predictions, which may or may not happen. These things have been going on throughout human history for hundreds, even thousands of years. Back in the turn of the millennium at the year 1000, there were many people who thought the end of the world was at hand. So what do we, you know, what can we learn from these predictions? I'm not really certain. There may be no way to pin down an exact date.
That's true. And it's a scary thing even to guess each year what that date could be. We just got to find out what happens. And, you know, but if anything does happen on an August 15th, we got to remember this night.
Well, that's true, because we've got a record. And I did listen to the show, and I do take these things, you know, seriously. I think we have to evaluate them carefully. But we can't allow doomsday to rule our lives either. So I personally, I try to find a balance, and I feel that there isn't going to be any sort of major cataclysm, end of the world sort of thing. Yes, we could certainly have some serious events that could impact us even globally, but there are so many forces in motion at any given time, and they can shift. They can shift with consciousness. They can shift with mass consciousness. So I prefer to go day by day and influence things the best as I can in the moment that I'm in for the best possible outcome for everybody involved.
In all the work that you've been doing, and you've done a lot, angels, dreams, ghosts, vampires, werewolves, you've done it all. What seems to be the issue now that most people are fascinated with right about now?
Well, certainly the doomsday predictions are kind of at the top of the list, because we've got so much chaos in the world right now, and many people feel very pessimistic about the sorts of things going on, the economy, the political climate, war, terrorism, impacting people's confidence in their ability to survive and thrive. And those are very important things to the spiritual growth of humanity as a whole, our sense of place and protection and security in the world. But also, people are reaching out into other dimensions. There's been a whole upswelling of interest in the paranormal. These things are cyclical, but we've certainly seen these in the last few years with the popularity of the media shows on ghost hunts and paranormal investigations, that people are making inquiries into our contact with the dead, with beings in other dimensions, and taking a look at some of the experiences they've had in their own lives that maybe they can't explain very well and possibly have paranormal implications. So those things, I think, are at the top of the paranormal list right now.
Absolutely. Do you find that people are having more dreams, too, about visitations by the people that have passed on?
I do. I do feel that, George. I think that our dreams are a very important medium for contact experiences. And they open up a world to us that we can't access very well in waking consciousness. When we sleep, we are more easily approached by entities. We have better access to other dimensional realities. The dead can come to visit us. And I think it's a process, that process involving the dead, it definitely is initiated by them. They have to be able to come to us and reach out and penetrate the veil to us. And they have a very limited window to do that. Our anecdotal literature bears that up over and over again. What's happening now is a two-pronged thing. I think that these experiences are indeed increasing in frequency, and that also people are more willing to discuss these experiences, which also makes them seem more common. So it has kind of a synergistic momentum here, that one sort of feeds on the other.
Rosemary, in terms of dreams, because I'd like to open up the phone lines in a few minutes to let people chat with you about all these paranormal topics, but yeah, I'm getting people emailing me about this very weird feeling. Now, I don't think it's what Bill and Frank talked about, not this August 15th event, but they're beginning to dream strange dreams of events happening as well. What does this mean? You know, you've always qualified every time you've been on that you're not there to give them advice about their dreams or interpret them, but you do pick up and feel what some of these things could mean. What's happening to people? What are they feeling? What are they sensing?
I think we're looking at things on different levels here. One is a very personal level, and most dreams address our personal situations in life, our emotional content, our feelings of security, our sense of how well we're doing in life. And when people feel overwhelmed by a bad economy, by politics, by terrorism, by chaos in the world, natural disasters, and even predictions of those sorts of things, that can impact us on a very personal level, and it can result in dreams which present us with upset, with chaos, with fears that we are going to become unbalanced in life or not be able to hang on and survive. Then there's another level, too, where human beings start to pick up things on a mass consciousness level. And these are the forces in motion which shape large events. And I think that the evolution of our consciousness is propelling us in that direction, that more and more people are going to be tuned into, I would say, the tidal waves of forces in motion that affect things at a mass level. So we may, in fact, be tuning in to probable futures which could come into being, and not all of those are very pleasant scenarios.
Well, that is true indeed. The dreams that people have that they remember, are they always messages or sometimes just things that happen in their day event?
I think that some dreams are processing, that we process our emotions, our events. But my feeling about dreams is that there's always important content in them about a barometer of how well we're doing in life. Our dreams reflect back to us our true feelings about our relationships, our jobs, our self-confidence, about our identities as human beings. And these are very important messages to us on a nightly basis, that if we pay attention to them, we can fine-tune things so that we sort of stay the course. When we get radically off course, when we're imprisoned in things that are not right for us, whether they be a place where we're living or a job or a relationship, then our dreams really tell us. And they tell us very dramatically in negative image, in upsets. These are healing modalities for us. They're warnings. They're information that life is out of balance, and we need to get back in balance by getting in touch with who we feel we really are and what we're meant to do in this life. In other words, to be authentic, to be true to ourselves.
How did you get interested in this field? Probably since you were a little girl, I would guess.
Like a lot of people who are fascinated by the paranormal, yes, I did get involved in this and interested when I was very young. I think that most children have some sort of paranormal experiences. They may see dead people, like dead family members, or they may play with fairies or hear angels, and that these experiences can drop off over time. But for me, they stay very much in the forefront of my life. And the major reason for that was that I discovered that psychic ability was part of my family. My mother had very unusual experiences, and so did my grandmother, a lot involving dreams, precognitive dreams especially, dreams about the future, dreams about people who were going to die. This fascinated me, that you could dream the future and it could come into being. So when I was in my early teens, I was experimenting with my dreams. I was paying attention to them. I wanted to know the future. I wanted to see if I could go out of body, if I could send messages to people or get messages from people. And I discovered that, yes, all of those things are possible. So that really launched me on the path that I'm on today.
Well, and what a great path it was for you, Rosemary. And I remember when you and I got together back in 1996 or so during our first talk shows in St. Louis, and you lit the phones up, and you haven't stopped ever since, huh?
Well, this is a real passion for me, George, and I know it is for you, too,
yeah.
This quest for the truth. And there are all of these subjective experiences that people have with dreams, with astral travel, with contact with other entities, with mystical experiences. And they have great meaning for us in terms of the big cosmic picture. many people try and ignore these experiences or explain them away as, well, it's imagination. But the more we come to terms with our experiences, I think the more illumined we are, not only as human beings, but as souls contributing and participating in this big cosmic picture of creation. That's what all of these questions lead to, our answers involving our relationship to the greater whole of everything, the all that is. That's what the quest of the paranormal is all about.
Former,
you may even start with a ghost hunt, but that's where it leads.
Yeah, former reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, passed away in his sleep this week, 71 years old. I hear so many stories. Danny Gans, the performer out of Las Vegas, dies in his sleep. When somebody dies in their sleep, I mean, assuming there's an afterlife, all right? And we all agree that there is, or we wouldn't be doing what we do. But what's it like for those people when they just don't wake up?
I actually think that that's probably a very peaceful way to go. From what I've read in the literature, and I've read quite a bit of mediumistic and channel literature from people who have passed over to the other side, including people who say they've died violently in accidents or they've committed suicide. And people who die very early and suddenly through violence seem to have a harder time making the transition than people who go in their sleep. Although there can be a period of disorientation for some people, like waking up and wondering, you know, where the heck you are. For example, one of the communicators who is very important to George Meek and his Spiritcom research was a man who I said his name was Doc Mueller. And he communicated with the medium that George Meek worked with, Bill O'Neill, gave a lot of information about himself biographically that really checked out that this person had existed. And he had died of a heart attack. And he said that he was very disoriented when he woke up and that he didn't quite know where he was for a while. So that may happen to a lot of us. My feeling is that there's a transition phase where initially once we get past any disorientation, we probably encounter things that conform to our expectations. These would be cultural, personal, religious, and spiritual. And that after a period of getting used to that, then we go through another transition where we move into another plane of the afterlife, and we keep on going. There are probably stages of existence that we move on into that are so far removed from what we can conceive of here in the physical body that they're very remote to us. We can't even begin to think of how we could live in such a state, whether it's disembodied or in another body or another planet or another plane. And our concepts of the afterlife have to do with this initial transition phase. And this is the phase where I think that we get the communications from, the people who are in that early transition who are able to relate back to life on Earth and give us some information about what it's all about.
Halloween is about 2.5 months away. What are you doing?
It's going to be very busy for me again this year. I go out on the college lecture circuit in October, and I really love this time of year because Halloween's my favorite, and I really love talking with college kids. They're a great audience. They're curious. They're open to the paranormal, want to be entertained at the same time. So I go out on campuses and give talks on what it's like to investigate the paranormal, especially ghosts. And then I usually lead an on-campus ghost hunt. So that's what I'll be doing this Halloween.
All right. Well, let's take phone calls with you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, let's take your phone calls for Rosemary Ellen Guiley on Coast to Coast AM. Rosemary, talking to the dead, it's all about energy, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's about energy and frequencies. I do think that we have the capability of developing the technology and the consciousness to go hand in hand to penetrate the barriers, not only to the dead, but to other dimensional realities as well.
To the phones we now go. Let's go to Covina, California, west of the Rockies. Danny, you're on with Rosemary. Go ahead.
Hi, Rosemary. Hi, George. I had a question on contacting back. I had a spiritual experience called clairaudience. It started out with a crystalline blue energy in my mind, and I started singing a song. I heard the words in my mind, and right after I heard it, I said the word, and there was no break in the words that I said. For about a half an hour, and all the words were of a different language that I'd never spoken before, and they all rhymed. And then all of a sudden, inside my mind's eye, I saw like a crystalline red, and then both of them came together, like the red was in the back and the blue was in the front. And I just felt this vibration in my mind while I was singing. I was wondering how was I contacted and why was I contacted?
These sorts of experiences are very subjective and very unique to an individual, and it's really up to the individual to find the meaning in it. And I usually tell people that you have to follow your own gut instinct and your own intuition. Contact experiences cover the range from these sorts of things to dramatic encounters with entities who impart information or want to give messages. If I were having this experience myself, Danny, I would do some meditation on it in terms of, please show me the meaning of this.
Could I actually ask you another question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
I was actually in the process when I was singing. I felt like I was directing the words towards creating something. Kind of like looking at looking at objects and kind of looking at the quantum aspects of it, and kind of like talking to the quantum atoms and stuff like that, trying to bring something out of it. That was my goal, and the end goal was trying to create something out of words.
It certainly has the aspects of a higher energy, an inspirational kind of energy. You might want to do some dreamlike interpretation work with this and find out what your associations are with the sounds of this different language that you heard and where that leads you and what the colors and the energy mean to you in terms of things that you can create yourself as an artist in life. And ask for that to unfold to you. A lot of times, initiatory experiences are alchemical in nature. That is, a gateway opens up, and then a path has to unfold in its own time in front of us. So sometimes it's important just to give energy, even permission to that process to begin, and then things can really pick up.
What's it all about, Rosemary? Why does this all exist? Why does this happen? There's got to be a bigger picture here.
I really do think there is, George. I think that it's part of the evolutionary track of human beings. I think that we have not only individual spiritual journeys, but we have a collective spiritual journey. And one of the things that I'm glad to see with so many people now willing to examine the paranormal and the spiritual and the mystical is that this provides a lot of added momentum to the collective, to further our spiritual evolution for enlightenment, so that we improve as souls, as human beings, and that we take the high road rather than the low road. And heaven knows, all you have to do is look at the headlines every day. Human beings are confronted with the low road, and there are plenty of people taking it, but this is a free will choice. We have free will to improve ourselves or to descend into lower energies, and we have to make that choice. That's what's going on right now with a lot of people.
Let's go to Arlington, Texas. Alex, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, a few years ago, I had a bad motorcycle accident, and I forgot everything for about 2 years. And when I started re-remembering things, I had some weird dreams. I looked to my right, and I saw a series of frames, which are, I guess, lifetimes. And then when I looked to the left, I saw lifetimes going back into the past. I couldn't go to the right, but I could go to the left. And I went all the way back, and then I kept going into, like, different, like, watching different frames, and I actually transcended into the animal kingdom and all the way down to, like, simple animals. And have you ever, did that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, what you're describing is not all that uncommon. When people have had something catastrophic happen physically, this can trigger all sorts of transcendent experiences, which are part of our survival mechanism and which connect us to a sense of a greater whole. Dreams in which we are presented with choices, such as you had mentioned, where you can go one way and go another way. There are a series of events that seem to be tracking different avenues of life, are not uncommon. I do believe in reincarnation, and I think that it is possible for human beings to experience things like animal consciousness, plant consciousness, mineral consciousness. I don't consider it really a forward or backward movement in our evolution, but something that gives us different experiences that add to the whole. All of these things do propel us forward. And sometimes a catastrophic accident sort of breaks that barrier open so that we have access to that information.
There you go. Next up, we've got you, Keith, in Phoenix, Arizona. Go ahead, Keith.
Hey there, George.
Hi.
I just wanted to call. I had an experience. It was on multiple occasions. That's why it kind of triggered my interest. I had been feeling kind of down, having some problems in life, and sitting on my back porch and thought up a question. And, well, lo and behold, I get a tingling, like a static electricity. I'm kind of a fuzzy dude, got hair on me, and just kind of picked up the vibrations, I guess, and with it came a name. And well, anyway, about a year later, sitting on the back patio and kind of forgotten about that, and all of a sudden I thought the same question, got the same feeling with the same same name, ended up going up on a trip and meeting that person, ended up changing my life quite a bit. But
I love it.
I don't know. I've had some very unusual experiences throughout my life, but down to abductions and all that. But this one right here was almost just telling me that, you know,
it was supposed to happen.
Someone out there to talk to me about.
Absolutely.
Someone out there watching my steps, and maybe knows a little bit more than me, watching out for me. And just wanted to share that with y'all. And thanks for your show. You keep me going all night, and really makes the time fly. Thanks, George.
All right, what a great story, Rosemary.
It is, and what Keith described is something that I hear about quite a bit. Dreams that forecast our meeting with somebody who's going to be significant to us. And these things come to pass.
Absolutely. Let's go to Napa, Idaho. First-time caller is Vanessa. Welcome to the show, Vanessa.
Thank you. It's great to be on.
Super. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just wondering, what role do synchronicities play in communication with the other side? And if the same sequences keep popping up with other people, what does this mean for global consciousness?
I'm not quite sure what you're asking, Vanessa, in terms of synchronicities and the other side.
Give us an example, if you can, Vanessa.
Like we've been talking about August 15th tonight,
yeah.
And actually I just got done reading about the Wahata from the New Zealand. And they have a prediction about August 15th, 2009.
Interesting.
Saying that the heavens will open up and the universe will reveal itself. So however you choose to interpret that, that's just one of the synchronicities that I've been experiencing.
Okay, so I guess what she's trying to ask, Rosemary, is throughout this existence, there appears to be events that somehow mesh, almost like pieces of a puzzle. so many people talk, let's say, about this date, August 15th. What does that mean? During 9/11, people had dreams. They had these feelings. They had premonitions. What is it about this universe that collects? I would guess Lynn McTaggart, who's going to be an upcoming guest in a week or so, when she wrote The Field, is talking about this universal consciousness that's interconnected, and everybody and everything is on it. Would you agree?
I do. I do agree that there is a grid, and that we can develop a sense of being a part of that grid, and we can sense the movements in the grid, the forces in motion. The thing about 9/11 was that people anticipated, they discovered later, usually people reported that after that event took place, they realized that they had sensed something coming up about that, that there was going to be something very violent, very earth-shaking, very global shaking that would happen. They had premonitory dreams, feelings, that sort of thing, but nobody really put it all together until after it happened. We do have synchronicities involving predictions, and I think that a number of factors can be at work. One is that some predictions are made and other people start believing those predictions and feeding energy into those predictions, which in turn generate more predictions that are similar. So you get kind of a momentum going in that direction, which could actually lead to something significant taking place. The other scenario is that there are forces in motion leading up to something that's going to take place. People begin sensing it in advance. There's a critical mass factor, at which point the event's going to take place no matter what, and people begin sensing that. The question is, where does one leave off and the other begin? At what point are we at the mercy of forces in motion, i.e. destiny, fate that can't be changed, and at what point do we have the ability to change that? And I think that's where we're at with a lot of these predictions of disasters. We simply don't know.
All right, next up we go to Lebanon, Connecticut, and it's Lise. Hi there, Lisa.
Hi there. I cannot believe I got through.
You did. You made it.
Nori, my most incredible favorite station in the whole world. You've got me through cancer and many, many tribulations, and I'm an insomniac, so I constantly listen to you. I'm nervous.
You made it.
Talking about with your guest, people dying in their sleep and what happens at that point, I really could relate to that because my adopted brother had died in his sleep, and I didn't know that he had died until like 2 weeks later. I was away out of town on work, and it had happened, and I still really never had any closure because it was all done and over with at that point. But back to a couple other things. My family has all been into metaphysics, and my mother is she has a gift of clairsentience. I have probably a lot less of a gift than she, but my dreams are very vivid, and at many, many times I find myself dreaming of, like, I've had car accidents and had repetitious dreams of the incident before it happened, and yet second-guessed my gut, and then it happened. But I wonder, what happened to him when that all happened. It just was such a shock, because he had recovered from cancer, got a clean bill of health, and bam.
If it's meant to be.
I kind of lost my focus. I kind of went a little bit everywhere here, so I'll have to apologize on that.
Let's see if we can wheel this in.
So it's kind of like a smorgasbord of questions or kind of comments.
Pick one, Rosemary.
Well, I'm interested in the dreams of car accidents. Do you mean that you dreamed of car accidents before the actual accidents happened, or you were able to prevent the accidents because of the dreams?
Well, about 15 years ago when I was married, I did have a dream of my car that I was having problems with. I would say about a month of that accident, and it did happen. He thought that I was trying to get a new car out of the deal, but I told him, we have to get rid of this car. We have to get rid of this car. I'm telling you, something's really wrong. And he was just like, you're out of your mind. And you know, there's been a lot of times where I don't know if it's an earth-changing thing or what's going on, but I know that I am becoming, you know, I feel almost psychic at a lot of times, like lately, especially late at night. I don't know if it's the moon or what, but it's uncanny how things, like, I'm feeling things before they happen. Not life, like, not major, like, world incidents, but just a lot of things like that, and they're not coincidental either.
But you're not alone by accident. You're not alone by any means, and many people dream of accidents that they wake up feeling convinced are going to happen, and they seem to be able to have the ability to avert those accidents. These tend to be things on a personal level, things that affect events on a more mass scale seem to be harder to influence. But what I think is at work here is an evolutionary process, that human beings are discovering their ability to tap into this flow of forces in motion, which affect things not just only on a personal level, but on a large-scale level as well. Now, the key is, will we ever achieve a cooperative mass consciousness to enable us to prevent major disasters?
Do you remember the phone call we had a long time ago, Rosemary? Somebody was in an airport, but prior to that, had dreamed of the love of his life. And sure enough, he's in the airport, and he sees her coming down the tarmac. And he goes, oh, my God, it's the person in my dream. He goes up to her because he had to. And she apparently had a dream about him. And they just stared at each other, and they ended up getting married. Isn't that weird?
I have come across that a lot, George, in the topic of people who say they meet their soulmates, the love of their life. They pre-dream the meeting. They begin to meet the person on some other plane of existence. It's as though the forces in motion, the threads of life, begin to draw them closer and closer together so that they inevitably meet. And when they meet, they know that they are meant for each other.
It is magic. Rosemary, a minute to go. Tell me about your website, and what are you doing next?
VisionaryLiving.com is the website. I'm continuing my work here in Monterey, been doing some paranormal investigations with a local group here, work with Laura Kimberly. I'll be doing more for the Paranormal TV Network. That's ParanormalTVNetwork.com. And, of course, George, the work on the book that you and I are doing together is progressing at a furious pace, just all kinds of great information that I've been getting from my travels around the country and interviews with people. You know, Frank's going to be contributing to the book, Ron Ricketts, people who've made Mark Macy contributions to this field. I'm so excited that we're showcasing the high-tech end of spiritual communications. This is where all the action is going to be, I'm quite convinced.
Well, I got to tell you, our editor, Bob Gleason, is just delighted with what you've been doing. Rosemary, he is delighted as well. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines now, 2 hours worth on Coast to Coast AM.